From the KTO newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. Two teenagers in Juneau who were reported missing yesterday morning were found dead. According to an information release last night, Juneau police say the bodies of 16-year-old Leotis Phillips and Zoe Clark were discovered Monday afternoon in a wooded area in Lemon Creek. Earlier yesterday morning, police and family reported the pair had gone missing from their homes in the Menonhaw Valley and may have had access to a firearm. A firearm was located near their bodies, and police say it appears that the two died from gunshot wounds. Police say the investigation into their deaths remains ongoing, and their bodies will be sent to the state medical examiner's office in Anchorage for autopsies. Police say the Juneau School District plans to make support and counseling services available to students and staff affected by their deaths. The community is also holding a candlelight vigil tonight at 8 p.m. in the ball field next to the Zantakahini campus in Lemon Creek. If you or someone you know is in crisis, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available to call, text, or chat by dialing 988 or contact the Crisis Text Line by texting TALK to 741-741. You can be connected to community resources by calling 211. The Juneau Assembly voted last night to delay a decision on whether to codify Juneau's voluntary five-large cruise ship limit into local law. Since 2023, the city and borough of Juneau and cruise lines have negotiated a limit of five large ships per day during the cruise season. But that agreement is voluntary and non-binding. Advocates unsuccessfully tried to put it on the ballot in a recent election. At a committee meeting last night, the Juneau Assembly discussed a proposed ordinance that would codify Juneau's limit into local law. If approved, it would make it illegal for a sixth cruise ship to berth in the city and borough of Juneau, which includes Douglas Island. Assemblymember Ella Atkinson said the Juneau community has made it clear it supports a five-ship limit.
For the many years that I've been on the Assembly, I have seen overwhelming support for the five-ship limit. It's consistently a thing that scores very highly in all of our surveys. It's something that everyone has kind of rallied around as a good thing and a good first step. And the only reason we haven't made it code is because we were not legally able to.
The Assembly hasn't pursued codifying the limit because it was unclear whether it was legal. Other communities have tried regulating the industry and wound up in court, like Bar Harbor, Maine. Local business owners in Bar Harbor sued the town in 2022 after its citizens voted to approve a 1,000-passenger daily limit. After years of litigation, a federal judge ruled this spring that Bar Harbor's passenger limits were in fact legal, opening a legal pathway for Juneau to pursue its own limits. Even so, Juneau City Attorney Emily Wright told the Assembly that pursuing legal limits here wouldn't come without challenges.
There is no scenario where you don't get sued in this. So I want to make that very clear. Someone is going to sue you at any level of this.
Wright estimates it could cost the city between $1 and $4 million to litigate the ordinance if challenged, and she couldn't promise whether Juneau would win. Mayor Beth Weldon proposed postponing the ordinance due to the city's current financial state and to allow the city's visitor industry task force to conclude. Deputy Mayor Greg Smith agreed and said now's not the time to push the ordinance forward.
We have a five-ship limit now. We are seemingly effectively negotiating and discussing and having a positive relationship with the cruise lines, which I think is a good thing. I guess I'm kind of like, don't kick the dog if it's not misbehaving.
The vote to postpone was approved in a narrow 5-4 vote. The city's visitor industry task force is slated to finish its discussion and make recommendations to the Assembly later this fall. And Juneau city leaders post some major questions about glacial outburst flood funding, including possible flood taxes, at an Assembly meeting last night. But they don't have answers yet. KTOO's Alex Solomon reports.
At a Juneau Assembly committee meeting, city manager Katie Kester said a long-term flood solution sponsored by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will require the city to cough up a portion of the funding.
I think we have a much stronger argument when we go and say we need a big chunk of money for this project, Congress, if we have both our own bond for match in place and we have participation, you know, by our partners in different layers of government.
According to a memo Kester wrote to the Assembly, the federal government typically requires local funders to cover a quarter of the cost for permanent flood control projects. But Kester says the city is working with Alaska's congressional delegation to amend a bill called the Water Resources Development Act that could drop it down to a 10% match instead. Assemblymember Greg Smith says it will probably be a lot of money either way.
If it's a $400 million project and a 10% match, that means we need to come up with $40 million. And if it's a 25% match, we'd need to be coming up with $100 million.
Kester says the Army Corps will propose a solution and a cost estimate in December, and the Assembly should decide how to pay its portion by then. She said the Assembly could ask Juneau as a whole to pay for it, or just those in the flood zone using property taxes. Kester says if voters approve a municipal ballot proposition to raise Juneau's property tax rates in the election this fall, it would give the city more flexibility to do that. But that wouldn't cover maintenance costs for the current temporary solution. The temporary flood wall made of HESCO barriers lines most of Juneau's Mendenhall River, and it needs annual upkeep to protect valley neighborhoods until a long-term solution comes online. Kester says the Assembly might want to consider a special service area to pay for it. That would require a majority of registered voters within service area boundaries to agree.
How big is that service area? That's another question that this body needs to weigh in on.
In June, the Assembly voted to undo a controversial funding plan that required some homeowners protected by the flood wall to help pay for it, but not all. Kester says the flood wall protected more than 1,300 homes during the flood last month, but that number isn't static. Last year, the flood wall covered fewer neighborhoods. The city has spent more than $20 million on the flood wall over the past 2 years. Kester estimates Juneau taxpayers covered about half of that, and the other half came from grants and loans from the state and Tlingit and Haida. After the flood in August, the city estimates the HESCO barriers will need millions more in repairs. It's unclear when the Assembly will vote on these funding questions. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
The Douglas Indian Association on Saturday celebrated the opening of its newly built education center. Tribal leaders say it's years in the making and will give the tribe a space to teach, learn, and remember its history. KTOO has more. Kagwask Ishmael Hope instructs guests, hosts, and youth on what to do during a ceremony at Anakya Andagan Yehit on a rainy Saturday afternoon.
And those who choose to as well will stomp, make a sound, goop, goop, whoa, and then turn around one time the way the sun turns. It makes peace with the trees doing this activity.
During the ceremony, a different grandchild of the Taku Kwan climbs a ladder, dips their hand in red paint, and presses it into one of four corners into the building's main room.
Goop, goop, whoa!
Each time after a corner is marked, people in the room follow Hope and turn in a circle. It's part of a ceremony to celebrate the tribe's new learning center opening. It's located at the end of St. Anne's Avenue, overlooking Sandy Beach and the site of the former Taku Kwan village. The building has an open layout with a side room on one end and a kitchen on the other. Tribal Administrator Andrea Cadiente-Lighty gave remarks during the ceremony. She says the learning center overlooks the site of the Douglas Indian village, which the city burned down in 1962. The city formally apologized in 2024. The association's president accepted it at the time, but Cadiente-Lighty says more needs to be done.
The historic trauma has yet to be really fully realized by this community. So hence our president saying it's not enough. It's not enough, this paper, this proclamation, this apology. It has to be more. And our young people need to know what happened here for hundreds of years to come. And hopefully the reclamation will become stronger and stronger.
The ceremony included additional speeches, dances, and songs in the building before a larger picnic and dances took place in Zavico Park. Funding to build the center came together 4 years ago. Dion Cadiente-Lighty is the Senior Education and Grants Director for the tribe. She says they are primarily focused on making the building an immersion language program, sharing history, and expanding their education offerings. She says the building opening comes as the tribe receives a federal arts education grant.
We already have some language initiatives in place, and now we have this wonderful new art grant. So we're going to be working with the Juneau School District to implement this program, which is to benefit children with special needs, grades K-12.
Dion Cadiente-Lighty says she's excited to accomplish all of their education programming now that they have the Learning Center.
I'm really excited that now we have a space. So programming that has been difficult to implement, because we haven't had our own space. I'm hoping that that gets better because we can be more consistent about our program offerings.
She says the tribe will continue working with the school district to bring some of its programming to students. In addition to a new building, tribal leadership announced it is also in the process with the federal government to change its name. The new name has not been announced. In Douglas, I'm Jamie Deep. And over at the Juneau International Airport, it's currently 62 degrees and mostly cloudy. Tonight, there's patchy fog and then a slight chance of showers with a low around 49 degrees. And taking a look at the weather for the rest of this week, it's expected to be mostly sunny and clear, although tomorrow there's a slight chance of showers and patchy fog, with highs in the low to mid-60s and lows around 49 to 50 degrees. And sunrise was this morning at 5:57 a.m. Sunset will be tonight at 7:56 p.m. for a total of 13 hours, 58 minutes, and 35 seconds of daylight, which is a loss of 4 minutes and 58 seconds from yesterday. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jamie Deep. For more news, head to ktoo.org.